it's the return of Cameron Ashley. It's time to boogie with the bear bitches.
Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for this one?
UCR.
Go.
We saying what we want. Give it to you, not a scum. Any place, any time. Not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll. We never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and good morning, Australia. This is Uncensored Radio's Guiltiest Pleasures, and I'm one of your hosts, Jeffrey. And alongside of me tonight, I've got some fabulous people. And tonight is the return of Miss Cameron Ashley. You know, she's been away, so we'll get to her in a little bit. But, of course, besides me, I've got Miss Vera. How you doing, Vera?
I'm doing fine, Jeffrey. How are you?
I am peachy keen, girl. I'm still reeling over the psychic on Monday. Good Lord.
That was fun.
It was a hoot. We also got Miss Katie. How you doing, Gert?
I'm just chilling. Happy to be back. Can't wait to hear all about this psychic you guys were talking about this week.
It was kind of crazy. And then, of course, last but not least, Debbie, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, honey, and I absolutely had a ball on Monday.
It was kind of fun. Freddie, also known as Frida and Fritz, is off tonight. He's getting ready for his big Halloween show over at Trex in Syracuse, New York. So if you're in the area, stop by and see him tomorrow night for College Thursdays with Frida Lay and get laid at a gay bar. And then pop over there Friday with your Halloween costumes and, you know, win some money or free drinks or whatever the hell they're giving away. Who knows? I never know. But pop over and see him. He's going to be a gumball machine. It's going to be something. But ladies, so, Katie, you missed the psychic, but girl, Vera and Debbie got some reading.
So let me hear all that, yes. Ladies. What happened?
Go ahead, Vera.
Well, everybody
not all at once, y'all.
Actually, there was three Pisces there and an Aquarius, and it was pretty, it was a lot of it was pretty spot on. Some of it was a little bit off, but it kind of threw me for a loop, had me in tears at one point, because there would have been no way she would have known about my daughter. And it was pretty cool. How about you, Vera?
I thought it was great. I had there was some of it that was so spot on that it kind of, you know, like all the stuff about my car. Really? But, you know, a couple places work out a little iffy, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not sure this was what I, you know, what's going on, but it's really great. She was wonderful. She was very sweet.
Yes, she is.
Are you,
she's
are you
a doll.
Huh?
Are you sorry you didn't get red?
I did get red at the end of the night.
Oh.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, she read me. All I cared about is I wanted to know when the money was coming. That's why I needed to know, you know. So, and, you know, kids, you can help that along by, if you're listening, make sure you're clicking those ads on the website when you're listening to the show. Click, click, click away. And then you can hop over to Twitter and you can follow us at My Uncensored TV. You can follow me at Jeffrey Emmett. You can follow Karen at Karen Ashley. You can follow Katrina at Katrina A. Johnson. And you can follow Katie, what's your name on Twitter, girl? I can't remember.
Oh, God, I haven't been on Twitter in months. it's Sadie McDuty, but I have not been on there in months. I will make another Twitter account, and I promise I will be good about it.
And now we just got to get Vera and Debbie up on the Twitter.
Well, eventually, maybe.
I think I got
well,
one, but I don't know what my name is on there.
Oh, dear. Girl, oh, no. We got to get this. It's a lot. I tell you, it's a lot to manage. Like, managing your social media is like a full-time job. It gets a little crazy. Because what I didn't get a chance to tell you guys was last, what was it, Thursday? So, you know, next week we have Justin Wiseman coming on. He was on The View on Friday. He lost like 420 pounds. It's crazy. So he's going to come on for the full hour. He's going to share his story with us. And he has this love for Rosie. And, I talked to him for like an hour on the phone. We both love her. But right after I get a phone with him, like, Rosie's tweeting. I tweet her. She retweets us from the show account. And it went batshit crazy. Because at the time, I'm a little behind. I did not know about the school shooting that took place, okay?
Oh, yeah.
But we were talking about, you know, about the tweet from Wednesday about the shooting in Canada, that the one supermodel there tweeted, two people get shot in Canada and the whole country mourns or something to that effect. But in America, it's just another Wednesday. And Rosie retweeted it, and she got tons of backlash. And I tweeted her saying, you know, like a year ago on the show, I had said, shootings seem to be becoming so commonplace in America that CNN now, it's just like a news blip or, you know, Good Morning America. It's just a little hit on the scroll. Now, what we weren't talking about was the school shooting that had just happened that, of course, CNN's covering, because school shootings tend to be a little more horrific. But what we are talking about is the shootings that happen at malls now or in other public places. They're not even...
anytime someone aims a gun at another human being and takes their life, I think that's horrific.
Right. It is, no matter what. And it's like the only shootings that seem to get massive coverage now is school shootings. And they don't talk about, like, there's been, like, I think 80-some-odd school shootings and shootings in public places since the one over in Connecticut.
Sandy,
how many of them? Yeah, yeah. How many of them have been mass covered? Not many. So, that was kind of the point. And it wasn't any diss to Canada, but it's like saying that we're so desensitized that it's just become a regular thing.
I think corporate America owns the media, and they don't want us to be horrified, so they don't run it.
Right, and to me, it's like kind of scary because, you know, I always like wonder when we're in a public place or at a big mall, like, you know, like it's always in the back of my head. Like, geez, you know, like I was really nervous about going to the movies. I had horrible anxiety about it after that the guy in Colorado there in Aurora went in with the gun and shot everybody up while they were watching the Batman movie. Like, that really horrified me because there was no rhyme or reason to it.
I don't think I go out, but there have been times where I've been sitting in the theater for yelling outside, and I'm thinking, oh my God, how am I going to get my fat ass down on the floor if somebody comes in here with a gun, you know?
Right, girl, that's what I'm saying. You know, one big girl, I'm like, how am I going to get out of this seat and hit the deck? Like, what? No.
Exactly.
You also have to keep in mind that a lot of these shooters, I mean, the ones that we know about, the ones that got a lot of coverage and all that, we've discovered that these shooters have all these mental problems.
Exactly.
Yeah, they do.
Well,
it's not the media, it's not violence and video games or music, it's that these kids have some serious problems and they weren't treated for them.
Well, and that's, I think, one of the things that Rosie O'Donnell has always tried to express, and this poor chick gets the shit end of the stick every time she opens up her mouth, and I really feel like she's saying what most people really think, and then I found, like, after I tweeted that, people really take your words and will take them to mean whatever they need for their argument to pick a fight. And it's like nobody's, like, no. And it's just kind of insane to me that what Vera said, anybody taking a life is just kind of horrific.
You know, I did a lot of research about this in college because I was a communications major and we had a course about it. And while people who are dealing with these mental diseases or disorders are more easily influenced by violence, it's not necessarily the violence in video games and movies and shows and music that are causing it, which is just a really easy scapegoat for a lot of these parents who are just looking for someone to blame or something to ban just so they can feel better.
Well, right, and I think that's always been one of Rosie's things, is like we need to look at mental illness in this country. And it was kind of one of my things that got me in trouble on this show. We had a bunch of callers who were pissed at me because I don't want to take anybody's guns away, but if there's somebody in the house with a mental illness, like, that needs to be addressed. And, like, I think we need to be looking at people's medical history. You know, like, I'm sorry, but if you're unstable and you go off your meds,
you know, before somebody buys a gun, they should know that they have had violence in the past.
It's scary to me.
It's not a horrible idea. It's not saying you can't ever have a gun. It's not saying nobody gets a gun. It's saying we just want a background check. Wait 3 days and you can get your gun. You know, it's not asking people to never hunt or never carry their favorite Colt 45. I don't know anything about guns, so I'm going to sound like an idiot. But
No, you're okay.
I'm not about taking away your guns. I'm about better screening for guns.
Exactly.
Like, no one wants to take away your gun. Calm down. We just want to make sure we're not putting a weapon in the hands of someone who's going to use it for something like this. You know, like any kind of, like you have to be trained. Like, you have to go through courses to get your hunting license. Why wouldn't you have to, like, be trained how to use the gun properly and put the safety on and lock it up and be screened for it? No one wants to take your gun away. We just want to make sure the right people.
And even going to the next step of, go ahead.
And I don't care how many people get pissed at me. Number one, I spent almost 21 years in the military, and as far as I am concerned, these assault weapons, no one besides the law enforcement and military should have one. I mean, that's totally freaking insane. You
totally
know, yeah, own a rifle or a shotgun because you're an avid hunter. There's people that have numerous handguns, and a lot of people do, what do they call them, where they go out and they go against each other to see how many they can hit. You know, I don't have a problem with that. If you are a responsible gun owner and you keep the stuff locked up, kids can't get a hold of it. If they get into it, then report it to the law enforcement so that, you know, somewhere down the road, a year to 5 to 10 years, they're not blowing somebody's head off. Guns are too readily available to people that should not have them. And I know a person, they make me extremely nervous because of the number that they have of them. And I'm not saying that they're not a responsible gun owner, but I'll be damned. I had a fruitcake across the street, brought out an AK 47 or whatever the hell it was, and was cleaning it off on his porch and was threatening to kill people of a certain nationality. And I'm like, what in the hell? And that's one of the other reasons we're moving out of where we are. It's gotten too commonplace in the United States for children and young adults getting killed every day by a gun. That's crazy.
I think there's a lot of different things they could do to prevent this. Like the mom, if I remember the story correctly, I mean, I'm sure new reports have come out since Sandy Hook, but the mom did have the guns locked up, but the kid got into it. So why are we not...
She took him freaking hunting and for weapons
right,
practice.
But
something as simple...
Something as simple as, like, you know, making it so that you have to use your fingerprint...
I think that would be a great idea.
To make the gun shoe, I think it'd solve a lot of issues because then only the person it's registered to can shoot the gun. I mean, I guess unless you cut the person's thumb off or whatever you want to do. But you know what I'm saying? I think it's going to make it a little more complicated for some folks to do this because it's just insane to me that these people keep shooting up. And again, like Katie said, every last one of these shooters – there was some kind of mental illness, and it's not being addressed in this country. And I don't know if it's come out more.
Years before Sandy Hook. When Rosie first started her show, she was promoting the hell out of the Million Moms March. Does anybody besides me remember the Million Moms March?
Those crazy chicks? Oh, we had a run-in with them.
I think it was in the 90s. It might have been, but it was all about gun control. And they got vilified. You know, Rosie got vilified. Everybody went to their march, got vilified. But the first
Jeffrey,
gun shooting
we have a caller there. I don't know who it is.
No, I'll get to it after. Don't worry.
Okay. But
sorry, Jared,
I mean, it's just crazy with you know, everybody's for their Second Amendment, which I have no problem with. Everyone has a right to own a weapon, but be a responsible gun holder, you know, and do whatever in your power to prevent your children or someone else from getting a hold of them, and it's not happening. You know, I know a lot of responsible gun holders, and they keep them locked up, and their children are, you know, don't get near them, and they're taught, you know, respect for the weapon, because it really is the old saying, it's not the gun that kills, it's the person that's holding it.
Right. Well, my dad has had a gun his whole, like, my whole life, and I always
mm-hmm.
knew, don't go near the gun, don't touch the gun.
Yep.
You know, this
yep.
it's not safe, it's not a toy, you stay away from it.
Yep.
I mean, he offered to teach me how to use it eventually when I was old enough, and I never was really interested, but I knew to stay
but
away from it.
But that was your
and
choice.
And so did my brother.
Well,
you
we
know,
had...
It was your guy's choice.
I don't know if
right.
you guys remember, but Michael Fishman was a co-host on this show for a hot minute. And when he was on, he had found this lady on Twitter who came on the show whose, I think the brother was a little bit older than her maybe, was like showing off one of his father's guns to one of his friends, and she was in the room, and he ended up shooting himself. And so even if you teach your kids not, you know, don't touch, like in Katie's case, she listened, but it still happens. And the kid ended up dying in front of her, and she ended up going to law enforcement because of it. It was a great, interesting show. I'm sure if you guys want to listen to it on demand, you can go through the archives and find it. It would have been like two Novembers ago, somewhere around there, October. And it was just kind of interesting to hear her perspective about guns because, again, it's not always mental illness. Like, those accidents happen all the time.
Mm-mm.
But if there was
yeah,
better safeties on these guns, if there was better safeties, you know, accidents like that wouldn't happen. Because I think you hear a lot that, you know, somebody accidentally got shot. It just happened in Cougar County. Somebody was cleaning
yes,
a gun
did.
Or something, and a 12-year-old just got shot. And it's like, you know, we could just make this so much easier. Like, you want to hunt, go shoot shit, that's your business, go ahead, I don't care. Just don't bring the animal near me because I don't want to see it. It makes me sad. I hate it when people kill Bambi. I'm not going to eat it. I can't do it. But, again, like, I think we're missing the bigger issue is mental illness, I think, has come more into light in, like, the last 20 years than it ever was before because if you were too extreme, they just put you in an asylum, and that was that. And now I feel like... I give Oprah so much credit because I really feel like she kind of changed the dynamic in the country when she started having people on who were molested as children and they started talking about issues and domestic violence where that really wasn't mainstream media in the 80s. And in, you know, I think that started to change the conversation everybody started to have from, you know, not my household, not my business. And then they go sweep it under the rug or pretend it doesn't exist. And I think that really started to change to where now we're all talking about these issues, but there's still not enough being done. And then to see a mental ill person, okay, I have a friend who's bipolar and, you know, we had to go in the hospital to get put on meds because, you know, they knew it was out of control. They ended up losing their career over it. And it's kind of horrifying to me that there's such a stigma on it that there are people that are suffering from mental illness that are not going to get diagnosed because it can cost them their career. And I think that's another thing that we need to change. Now, I mean,
yeah,
I got some crazy relatives, and I do believe, like, maybe there should be a place where we could lock some of the crazies up because my relative, you know, this bitch is, she's two snowflakes short of a blizzard, you know what I'm saying? Like, she's just an asshole. Like, there's no excuse. like, there's no amount of pills in this world that could help her. Like, she's just off her rocker. And I just lock her up. I don't know, you know, because you, I feel like at some point in your life, you have to accept the fact that there's a problem. And it's like, mm-hmm. what do we do with the people that won't even acknowledge that there's an issue? Like, I don't know about you guys, but in my personal life, I've met tons of people along the way that I've met and have been friends with that there was definitely some mental illness going on, whether it be bipolar, you know, some manic depression, some horrible anxiety attacks that, you know, they wouldn't even acknowledge there was a problem. So, and if you're doing
yeah.
that, like, I feel like there's nowhere to go. So what do you do? You know,
there's
like,
just,
it's not
well,
like...
It's so stigmatized, but I firmly believe that crazy is a button every single one of us has. You just got to figure out what turns it on and off.
Absolutely.
You know?
No, I agree with
there
that completely.
Goes, every one of
but
us,
they did.
You know, we could have a break tomorrow.
You know, it is now, you know, thanks to, you know, a lot of people don't like a lot of things that Obama has done, but at least now, before they just pushed mental illness back in the corner, and now it's actually classified as a, you know, a problem that's not going to go away without the proper medical care, and at least now insurance company cannot refuse to treat someone. They can't refuse for you to go and get counseling, where before you had to have it approved first.
Well, and
right.
I'll tell you,
and
you know, everybody
you know, it's
bitches
better.
About everybody bitches about Obama, but again, like, it really worked for me getting Obamacare. It was really effective. But, you know, in my early 20s, I probably could have used some insurance because I didn't have any. And,
yep.
you know, I really struggled with depression badly, you know, to where it really affected my job performance, because there was days where I just couldn't get out of bed and I couldn't function and I was miserable. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to leave the house, you know, and
mm-hmm.
it's really kind of taken me a long time to be like, okay, I'm aware of this. So how
yeah.
am I going to change this? Because I don't also agree with meds are always the answer. Like, I feel like there's a
no,
lot of natural solutions you can go to.
Yep.
I'm not a doctor, so talk to your doctor and do what you think is right for you. Because don't come
yes.
back and sue me, because the only thing you can get is the Intrepid sitting down in my driveway. Okay? just
well,
saying.
You know, no, there's a lot of natural things that you can do.
I dealt with anxiety in high school. I was having panic attacks, and it was kind of debilitating. And actually, I did some research on it, spoke with my doctor. I did a diet change. I had some more exercise, and that really did help, because I wasn't really all about being on medication. I had been on medication before. I didn't like how it made me feel, and I wanted a
right?
different solution for it. So I absolutely agree with you. There are holistic ways of treating it, and speak with your doctor, do your research, and I think you could be fine.
Yes.
But
you don't always even have to go to the holistic approach. Like, for me, it was just as simple of recognizing, okay, I'm having a B-day. So I know I need to get my ass up. I need to shower. For me, it's putting on some peppy music and dancing my big ass off in the shower like it's my job. And, you know, trying to move forward with my day and just keep telling myself, like, it's just today. This is just a mood. It's going to go away, and I'm going to get through this. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, I can pull myself through it. Other days, not so much. Like when, you know, I have to get on a plane and to go to a convention, and it gets a little traumatizing. And, you know, now, because of Obama, thank you, I got me some Xanax. So hopefully I'm going to be able to fly to some of these conventions, because guess who's here, kids? It's Miss Karen Ashley. Do you like that? I tried. I was trying so hard. I'm like, how am I going to do
it? You were like juggling in the air. Like, how am I going to get it over here? How am I going to get over here? Hey, everybody.
Hi, Karen.
Hey, Karen. Hi, how are you guys? You guys sound great.
Thank you. And we're all doing good.
Oh, I'm so happy you're doing good. I'm so happy you're doing good. How are you, Jeffrey?
I have been missing you, It's been, you know, it's been fantastic. I have to say, this new group of folks we got, they have been fantastic.
I love the energy.
Yes, girl, it is wonderful. But, you know, we always miss you. But you've been crazy ass stomping all over this globe, going to all these things. And I really want to talk about, you just got back from London, and I heard you met, you were Mr. Wizard.
I did. I just got back from London, and I met Daniel Radcliffe, the wizard of all wizards. Yes. Harry Potter himself.
Okay, but the thing that trips me out, now tell everybody what he told you. That's what
What's so funny, because we knew he was coming in, and it was a really quick thing. Like, he was there, his movie just came out in London. So it was like he was there to promote the movie, but he literally was there for like an hour, you know, and he had 100 posters, and like people, from what I understood, people had stood in line like all morning just to get a raffle ticket to get one of these autographed posters from him, right? So they were like, okay, he's going to be there, and we had a panel that we had to get to. So it was like we were all pressed for time, and they were like, look. You know, we were like, look, we just want to take a selfie. We just want to say hi to them. And they were like, okay. Like, they were very upset because we were ruining their flow. And they were like, it's got to be quick. And when, you know, we come get you, you guys got to be ready. So, like, literally, we're, like, sitting there signing autographs. And someone walks up and goes, it's time. And we're like, what? And they're like, it's time. Come on. And we're like dropping stuff, telling people, okay, we'll be right back. Ran over there, and I mean, we literally walked up to him, and the first thing out of his mouth, he was like, oh my God, Power Rangers, I grew up watching you guys. We were like, yeah. But he was so nice and was so sweet and was like, oh my gosh, yes, I want to take a picture. You know, he like hugged everybody, and you know, just was really cool. And it was just a really quick meeting, but he was so, I mean, the nicest guy you could ever meet. Like, his energy was wonderful. So I was very happy about that. That was probably one of the things that was like a highlight of the trip. But, I mean, there were a lot of highlights, but that was definitely a huge one.
I just was, like, tripping. When I saw the picture hit the Facebooks, I was like, girl, you better get it from Uncensored Talk and Uncensored Radio because you got some questions. Because, you know,
that
boy
was
naked.
I didn't even have time to pick him. It was, like, not even a second. Like, it was like, hey, oh, my gosh, what's ours? Oh, my God, well, I grew up watching you guys. We were like, we grew up watching you, kind of. We laughed and kind of went on. Like, I mean, it was literally that quick.
Girl, that's okay. We'll get them on Twitter. Don't you worry.
I know. Right. I'll leave that up to you because you're, like, the Twitter stalker. So I know you got
You know
that.
How I do. You know how I do.
You guys just wait. If Jeff will call you, if you give him access to your Twitter, you're going to be so upset because he will call you and go, oh, by the way, I tweeted such and such and had a whole conversation with them, and I pretended I was you, okay? So anyways, they're coming on the show, and I'm like, hold on, wait. Let's go back. You pretended you were me? Like, he will do that to you. Don't give him access to your Twitter. Take it from me.
Well, girl, you know, sometimes you just got to book a guest, and if I got to shake a bone, I got to shake a bone, honey. You know, I've really become Joan Rivers, where if somebody offers me a commercial to do Depends, honey, I'll do it. You want me to shit in it? Because I will, right on live TV. I don't care.
He will sell his soul to the devil. Like, this is
it's
what
true.
We're dealing with here, people.
I tried to sell their panties online to raise some funds, you know, so we could do some things. We tried selling Katrina's. What did your mama call them? The Chones. Katrina's Cachones.
Chones, yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, my Lord, girls. You just don't even know.
It was a mess. Like, he will get you in all kinds of trouble, ladies, so y'all just be careful.
So what's exciting, though, is I'm excited to be back on the circuit with you this weekend.
Yeah.
We're going to be hitting up in Rhode Island. Tell everybody what's going on.
Well, this weekend I'm going to be in Rhode Island at Rhode Island Comic Con, which I'm so excited. I'm so excited you're going to be there because it's been a minute. It's been, since March that you went out and hung out with me. So we're going to be there all weekend, signing autographs, doing panels, but we're also going to be doing Uncensored Talk and Uncensored Radio segments. It's going to be some craziness, but it should be really fun, and I'm really happy.
And for those of you who don't know that maybe you've been living under a rock, oh, dear, honey, somebody's getting something going on. For any of you who've been living under a rock.
I have no idea.
honey, somebody was wiping something unmentionable, I'm thinking.
I know, right? Somebody, it was kind of like cobwebs or something.
Let's just blame Blog Talk. I think that always works for
exactly.
us. But, you know, if you've lived under a rock, you know, Karen's got this great show going on YouTube, Uncensored Talk with Karen Ashley, and you've had some fabulous guests. Tell the folks, girl, where can they find it?
Oh, my God. I have. You can find it on YouTube at My Uncensored Radio. It's still the same YouTube channel that we use for the radio show. We've interviewed, obviously, lots of Power Rangers. The people love the Power Rangers. So we've interviewed Austin St. John, Steve Cardenas, Walter Jones, David Yost, Catherine Sutherland, Akia Barish. But I sat down also, if you're not a Power Ranger fan, I sat down with Michelle Nichols from Star Trek. She is amazing, like Hollywood legend. I was in awe the whole time I was with her. And it's just been wonderful. It's been a wonderful thing. And Jeffrey, like I said, is going to be helping me this weekend. And you will see him on Uncensored Radio. Uncensored
Yeah, we're going to have the stalker cam. And you know I'm going to be like
yes.
sleeping over to Anthony Michael Hall's booth because Weird Science and Howard the
yes.
Duck are like my 80s. Films, okay?
Yeah.
Like, I tried to bring in Weird Science. I tried to bring in, because, you know, back in the day, you used to have Movie Fridays in school. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I was in, like, second grade or something, and I tried to bring in Weird Science, and they were like,
Mm-hmm.
It's a great movie, like Kelly LeBrock, Anthony Michael Hall.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
you don't even understand this. I'm about to blow your mind right now. You remember his friend who was on Weird Science? His name was, I don't remember his character name, but his name was Elon. In real life,
yeah.
He's a dark-haired kid. He and I are like besties. Like, we are truly besties. Like, we sat next to each other. We did a convention in San Antonio. And I just met him. Like, I walked up. He was waiting for his plane. We were all kind of waiting for the plane together. We talked briefly. But we just hit it off. Like, we're just, you know me, I've got the gift of gab, so I'm, like, talking his ear off. But on the way back, like, we literally sat on the plane and talked for 3 hours straight. And I mean, he's my bestie. I've got him in my cell phone. I've got him on speed dial. I love him to death. We definitely have to have him on Uncensored Talk and Uncensored Radio because he's amazing.
Wait, now,
he's
you're
now
talking about the
professor.
Boy that was in the movie, not the
yes.
show, right?
No, the boy that was in the movie with Anthony Michael Hall.
Okay,
and
now,
Anthony Michael Hall was doing the convention together.
They were
the ones doing the Weird Science.
Oh, honey, it makes me a little moist in the chones because I always had the crush on the dark-haired one.
Yeah, well, I
hey,
know
Karen.
His name's Elon. Yes.
I have a question for you. It's
yeah.
one of our listeners would like to know if you have a YouTube page other than the one
I
for
do.
The show.
Oh, I do, but I don't really use it.
Oh.
Okay. Everyone is called Grow Up Already. It's Grow Up Already. It's a YouTube channel. So I do. I have one. But because all of this is kind of under the Uncensored umbrella, and we're kind of, you know, we're spreading our wings over here at Uncensored. You know, it was like one of those things, like where I think with the personalities that we have, nobody can just be tied down to Uncensored Radio. We thought, okay, we need to do Uncensored Talk. Jeffrey's going to be doing Uncensored One-on-One, Uncensored Cooking. I mean, it's like there are going to be so many Uncensored brands, you're not going to know what to do with it. But it's all one big happy family. So My Uncensored
yes,
Radio,
what
is where
do
you go? What was that?
He wants to do one on cooking and baking.
I know. You guys have to do it. Like, I literally want to, I want to see that. And then I want to come on and cook my famous enchiladas one day with you.
Ah.
Oh, I know that's right, girl. I'm still waiting
we
for them wings,
it.
Okay?
We can do that, too. We can do this. I'm telling you. You know what? You should have joined me in Indianapolis, Jeffrey, because, honestly, I had a full apartment at that time, and we could have went to the store, and I could have made you wings.
Well, go. When you're in Niagara Falls this summer, take a
yes.
few extra days, come down
mm-hmm.
and visit. We'll get Miss Lisa J, and we'll shoot a bunch of stuff because it's like 2 hours away. So, like,
yeah,
you know,
no,
take like a couple extra days, and we'll go film some shit. Maybe we can do a little Uncensored Reality Season 2 type shit.
Yes. No, totally.
And she can have my cake.
Oh, cake. Did you say cake?
Yes, I did. You could ask Jeffrey about his favorite cake.
Oh. No, are you the one who was like the baker and like he was carrying the cake to the wedding and it's like you make these amazing, beautiful cakes?
Uh-huh.
I knew it. Oh, yeah. I've heard about your cakes, girlfriend. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'll be the cake tester. I am ready.
I think the weirdest thing I've made so far was a Willy Wonka wedding cake.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Now,
I would hire you if you were even in L.A.
Now, Karen, with all your traveling, I got...
I was saying, Steph's holding out cake on a pregnant lady? What is this bitch doing?
You're gonna listen. When we have our photo shoot, I promise I will make the cake that Jeffrey and all of them go absolutely bonkers over.
Hold me to it. No,
I promise.
Holding out on cake. Sorry,
I know.
Karen.
I know, Karen. Like now, Katie's pregnant. We've got Debbie the baker and Beera's the nurse, and then we've got Frida, Freddie, who's not here tonight, who you know is also Frida because he does the drag shows on Thursdays.
I met
that we're
Frida.
All gonna go. Yes, you did. We're all gonna go do a live event out at the bar one of these nights, and it's gonna be a little crazy. So maybe I'll have to fly in and we'll do a little sneak attack on the gays.
That would be awesome.
Girl, you know how the gays are with the Power Rangers.
I know. they like Michael Fishman. They were like all about him. But I got it because, you know, obviously I wasn't their type.
You know, I used to watch the Power Rangers with my kids.
Aww.
Well, honey, and the sad thing is right now.
It's been 21 years, and it's still, like, going strong. It's the craziest thing I've ever imagined. So who knew?
Well, if you feel like writing a letter to Saban, telling him that every time I see that movie on HBO, you know, he owes those kids some money. I'm just saying. I'll put it out there.
Yeah, it's him.
It always cracks me. You know, the kids, like, you know, they love the movie. They love watching it. And they're like, is that your friend, the one with the braids? You know, Renaya, Missy's kid. Is that her? I love her braids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know. I got these braids back in my head. Can you imagine? I'm shocked that I'm actually wearing braids, but it's the best thing because I don't have to curl my hair for the next month.
I've grown my hair
a little bit.
You think you could throw some braids in before the convention on Saturday?
I can corn roll you up, honey.
I know this. Could you picture this?
You know, I remember watching the very first episodes of Power Rangers. Oh, my God.
Yeah? I know.
Yeah.
I know. That was a long time ago. I know. It's crazy because I'm obviously submerged in it now, being on the con circuit. And I was telling someone, if you would have told me 20 years ago that I would be in London, England, sitting here talking about Power Rangers to a packed house, I would not have believed it. I mean, this convention was probably one of the bigger conventions we've done. I found out today it was over 110,000 people there. So, I mean, it was loaded. But it was so amazing, and they were so warm and generous and wonderful. And it's been a while. I mean, literally, people have been emailing me for years about when are you coming overseas. And this was one of the first times that I had been, so it was so great.
Aww.
And I'm in Rhode Island this weekend. Next weekend, I'm in Orlando, Florida, and then 2 weeks after, I'm in Grand Rapids. And then I'm taking the month of December off.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Craziness.
Someday I'll get to meet you.
for sure. I mean, it's like one of those things. I feel like I know all of you because Jeffrey has told me so much about you. So it's just a matter of, it's like me and Jeffrey, we were friends for a year before we actually looked into each other's eyes and he fell in love with
me. It's true. Like, we talked on the phone every morning for like an hour. And we didn't meet for a year. It was kind of crazy. But, girl, I'm a little concerned for you. I got to tell you, I got a little nervous. I'm going to have to take a Xanax this weekend. Thank you, Obamacare, just saying. You know, you just flew over the pond and shit, and I'm a little bit concerned. Were you a little nervous about the Ebola, girl? Were you checking people's temperatures, and did you wear the garbage bag over your body?
I did not. I thought about it, and it was fun right before I got on the plane coming home. I saw, I was on, you know, I'm just on, like, Instagram, and I saw, like, some of the Real Housewives of Atlanta. They wore those surgical masks. Like, they were flying somewhere, and they got, like, all this flack. Like, people were, like, trashing them on the internet because they wore these surgical masks. And I get it. But you know what? This is the thing. I was in London. I was in England. I wasn't at, you know, Western Africa. I wasn't, you know... It wasn't, I never felt at any point that there was something crazy going on. So I told someone, I was like, we got to just leave that in God's hands. As much as we fly, like we're flying almost every weekend, you know, so it's like we're home 3 days and gone four. So it's like, as much as we fly, you just got to let it go.
Here's what I got to tell you as a nurse. As long as you don't touch somebody else's poop or somebody else's shit, you're probably going to be okay.
No, see, this is the thing. I have to go on plane, so it's like you know, obligations. But I was never nervous, and I felt like, you know, it's all good. Like, I literally, on the plane, it was a 10-hour flight. I watched, like, 6 movies. I listened to music. I made myself stay up so I could get back on track as far as time goes. But, I mean, I just had a good old time on that plane.
Yeah.
I can't drive, I don't want to go.
I'm really surprised that none of the Power Ranger fans have brought up the fact that because in your character, didn't we last see her? She was like in Africa.
I'm surprised. Jeff, it's funny you say that because I have a friend on my Facebook who's listening to the show who is a huge fan of Karen and has a question.
Yeah.
He asked.
He said, did you ask her about the clear differences between the way the Power Rangers changed their powers in the movie versus the show?
Well, you know what it was? This is the thing I tell people all the time. We can ask this question a lot. If there were huge differences. What happened was, you know, obviously Saban did the television show, Saban and Fox. Then when we did the movie, 20th Century Fox came in, and it was like a whole, like, string of producers. I mean, these are, like, top people. Like, these were, like, people who did... You know, I mean, blockbuster movies. They came in and they wanted the movie to be bigger, better, and more awesome. So they changed a lot of things. And they tried, you know, obviously our team was on set and they kind of were like, well, it's not quite how it works. And I mean, they did some things and kept some things, but it was definitely different. And it was just so that they could, you know, introduce the new Zords and introduce the new costumes and new sets and, you know, and then what was funny is after the movie came out, we went back to the regular old set and started shooting the episodes like nothing ever happened. So it's just the kind of movie magic, you know. I think they spent all the money and Saban decided he didn't want to upgrade anything once we got back. So it was different, though. Your friend is right. He's very smart to notice that.
It's so funny because I really feel like after doing this show with her for so many years and going to the conventions, I'm not sure that there's a single fan that could ask a question that I don't know her answer to already.
You know what's funny is we always tell people, we're like, ask us something different. Think about your question. And we still get the same question. And then we'll get maybe three questions that are different. But it's what people want to know. It's like the biggest, like, you know, things that, you know, people were watching going, oh, why is that? You know, so it is what it is.
It cracked up. And did you see, I sent you that link. I think you put it on your fan page where somebody had the video from you guys behind the scenes in the movie when Mariska was in the film with you guys. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I sent you the link.
Yeah. We shot with her for quite a number of months. I mean, it was like she came on and there was a girl that was cast as Dulcia. Excuse me, I'm choking. And then, like, maybe a week before we started filming, she couldn't do the film because she had to have surgery. And so it was, like, horrible because this girl had just spent, like, 3 or 4 months, like, training, like, physically training, learning fights. And so they had to find someone else, and they, like, went through tons of people. Like, they were talking to, you know, Tina Turner and, you know, I remember it was so many names that were being thrown around, and Mariska got the part. And Mariska came on and, like, literally started filming the next day. And I felt horrible for her because she didn't get, you know, 3 months to train and learn these fights. Like, she literally got a day. Okay, let's shoot. you know, and so we shot all this footage, and then they ended up not liking the set that we were on. They ended up not liking her performance, but I don't think it was because her performance wasn't good. It was because, you know, she didn't have the time to prepare like the other girl. And so they, you know, ended up, you know, replacing her, and the original girl came back and did the role. So it was just meant for her to have.
And Gabrielle is such a sweetheart. We met her, I think, in L.A. and someplace else. Like, she's such a great chick.
Amazing. I love her. She's, like, the best person you'll ever meet. She's so sweet, so generous. That's why I felt so good about it. I felt horrible for Mariska, but I felt good because it was kind of Gabby's role. You know, Gabby, like, literally took the bull by the horn and was, like, ready, you know. She really had trained for months. So it was heartbreaking to see her lose that part.
Yeah, it definitely, I can't imagine what it's like to go through that. But what I can imagine, I was telling the girls before the show how Toya, your friend who you brought on the show, we didn't show for like a year, and she thought the whole time that I had been on the show with you that I was a freaking Power Ranger.
She was drunk.
So,
I don't know what's wrong with Toya.
Right? I'm like, so now I'm kind of like, I'm hoping that she was thinking that I was Austin because this, you know, you didn't meet him till after. Like, he came on the radio show, and I think you met him after that, right?
That's funny, yeah. I did. I met him when I shot on Central Talk. That was the first day we met. We met in Houston, Texas.
Right. Well, we talked on the air, though, first, I think, before
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah, we did. We talked on the air, and then we officially met face-to-face.
Yeah, I can't wait to, like, take a photo with him. I have to do it to send it to Toya to be like, no, bitch. Big difference. Big. Huge.
Just go with it. Why even clear it up? If somebody told me that I was Halle Berry, I would be like, hell yeah, I'm Halle Berry. I would ride that way to the front.
Right? I'm like, okay, let me try that round spin kick or whatever it was the hell that he used to do. Because you Google, you know, that's, I said, like, I would Google my name and, like, his picture, yours, Catherine's, everybody would pop up. And I'm like, oh, great. Like,
you're
they're going to, yeah, no, bitch. I'm not the one. Like, no. Mm-mm, it wasn't me. But, you know, it would have been fun. Girl, could you imagine?
Yes.
I mean, what the hell was my Pink Power Ranger meat? That was my name. Yeah,
no,
that was great.
You were Pink Power Ranger meat. Like, you had the pink costume on, but your little nut sack was hanging out underneath the skirt. your little junk was hanging out underneath that skirt. It was very inappropriate. Jeffrey.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, I was not on the Power Rangers. Just saying.
Yeah.
Well,
he was, but he doesn't want to admit it. Hi.
Wait, what happened with what?
I said you weren't on the Power Rangers. You're a huge disappointment.
I know. You know, the thing is, I would have had to be. That member? Okay, I don't know because if you guys probably didn't watch it, but later on in the show, like a little kid came on and played. Like I'm closer to Blake's age than I am everybody else's, so I would have been like the fat little pudgy kid. Like I could have probably played Polly's like nephew or something, because I, you know, like, the fat guy role had already been filled. So like, what was I gonna do? Like, you know, I mean, they took that little boy and made him big, but could they have taken me fat in the suit and made me skinny? I mean, I'd have been okay with that.
Oh man, you're silly. You would have made a great Power Ranger.
Oh Lord, honey, no, I don't think so. Because they would have been like, okay, you got to do a kick, and I'd be like, bitch, I'm tired, I need a break.
See, he's so lazy, this one.
See,
I can't
now
do it.
Now I'm trying to think of all the names of the characters on the show. You're saying the fat kid. I'm trying to think of his name.
His name on the show was Bulk.
Bulk.
Okay, I get it. Okay,
and he had the sidekick, Scott. What is it? Polly and Jason Narvi. And those two, like, I feel like every convention I've done with you, we've been next to them. And it's hard to, like, pay attention to the convention because you're watching them, and the characters they play on the show is what they bring to the conventions, and they are insane. It is hysterical.
They are amazing. Yeah, they are literally, like, they're some of the best trained actors you'll ever meet. And so to see them, that's just who they are. Like, those characters were one facet of what they have in their acting repertoire. Like, it's like one character. It is not even Broken Skull doesn't even give them the room to work. And, I mean, they got to do stunts. They got to be silly. They got to throw pies in each other's faces. And it still doesn't give them the room to be as funny as they can be. Like, they're that funny.
It's just been so long. I was probably in, like, first grade the last time I watched The Power Rangers.
Yeah. Well, you can go now. You can go to Netflix. Like, it's a whole new generation. It's hilarious because people who were kids now are adults, and their kids, and, like, we're kind of like, okay, who do we talk to, the kid or do we talk to the adult? And the parents are like, oh, no, that allergy was for me. Thank you. My kid can wait. So,
that is my favorite thing. We were sitting at that first. I don't think the movie is. It was, but the show is.
I'm looking it up right now. Just, if the movie's on there, I got to watch it again. That was one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, right?
Oh, Lord. Yeah, that was my favorite. At the first convention we went to, Karen and I were there, and the little kids were dressed up. And she's like, oh, you want me to take a picture with your son? And he's like, no, the picture's for Daddy. And we just looked at each other, and we're cracking up. It really is. The fans are so sweet. They're a riot. It is something.
I told them I posted yesterday. It was so weird because, you know, you meet them and you hear all these stories and I mean literally these are kids and you think, you know, I was just doing a television show. My dream was to be on TV. So I was living my dream. But little did I know that all these impressionable children were watching, and it meant so much to them. Like, we were talking to someone who, you know, told us that they were severely bullied, to the point of where they wanted to kill themselves. And they started watching, Power Rangers, and it really inspired them to not do that, to love themselves. And they, you know, like, one of the characters was, you know, David Yost played, he was a nerd, and this kid was a little bit, you know, he was considered a nerd, and he was like, wow, this kid's cool, and he's hanging, like, it really, it's like the little things that we didn't even know was happening, you know, that were on the show, or we had a kid who said that he literally, like, his dad passed away when he was really young, and Power Rangers got him through that grief. Like, he would be sad all day, but when he watched Power Rangers, he was happy. You know, it was like a moment. Just after school, he'd run home from school, and that 30 minutes was, like, amazing for him. So, I mean, it's, like, those stories. Like, we're sitting there crying at our tables when they're telling us these stories. But someone had sent me a letter, and it was just the sweetest account of them meeting us. And just, you know, when I walked up to the tables, you know, it was just every single moment they described, you know, meeting me and meeting the other people that were there in London, and it just touched my heart. And I said, you know, honestly, fans have, you know, they have filled my soul with sunshine because my memories of Power Rangers were great, but I left on a bad note. Like, I left in a, you know, kind of a tussle with the producers, and I left them happy, and I left feeling like I was used. But it was like the fans have wiped all that away. Like, I don't even care what happened back then. The fans give me more than I could ever give them, and it's just amazing. So, yeah.
All right, we look forward to watching you every Saturday.
Oh, thank you.
I did a little research, and the movie is not on Netflix, which is hugely disappointing, but the series is on there. I've added it to my list. You need to add it to yours.
Well, I'm telling you, the movie, I've seen it when I'm going through, like, my on-demand channels, like HBO, Showtime, one of those. If you've got it, it's on one of them, I promise.
Yeah,
because
that one, I think, because 20th Century Fox owns it, like, it's on HBO, like, it comes on Starz, it makes its rotation through cable. But
yeah,
and
then it goes
series,
back to Netflix.
Which Mighty Morphin, there's like 200 episodes that is just Mighty Morphin. So it's like, you can go from the beginning all the way up until when I was on there until when I left. And I mean, they're literally, we shout out this new season. They will have accomplished 800 episodes. Like, that's how long it's been going on, forever. So, and
that's
that's amazing. And the new Pink Ranger is the first African American girl to put on the Pink Ranger costume. So it's very iconic. The first African American girl to be on this show and to be a superhero, and she's now the first Pink Ranger. So it's amazing.
Well, and I think we've talked about it before, like, you were kind of one of the first African-American superheroes.
Period.
Like,
yeah,
for
me
kids.
And Walter Jones were the first, period. Yeah.
Yeah.
You go, girl.
It is kind of
thank you.
Crazy.
Nice.
But now, girl, could you use your superpowers maybe if you could find them? You know, I don't know where you guys keep them these days. But could you maybe send a little message to Honey Boo Boo? Because, you know, that girl, they need some love over there. Oof.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Her mother needs to have her ass beat.
Oh,
what's the deal? Because I don't know the whole story. What's going on? Like, she's dating
a
monster?
You are like the reality show queen.
I was in London, England, where they don't have very much American TV. Like, I was watching
really?
British television. They do, but it's like Big Bang Theory, Modern Family, and How I Met Your Mother. Like, every time I turn on the TV, those shows were on. And very little of anything else. It was all, like, you know, really good TV, like British TV, but it wasn't like TMZ. Like, I didn't get none of that. So I don't know what's going on. Fill me in, please.
Ooh, girl. Honey Boo Boo, the mother, they canceled the show because the mom started dating somebody who's like a pedophile. And apparently, right,
yep.
girls, am I right about this? That he molested her daughter?
Yeah,
yep.
Okay. Now she's her older daughter.
Yep, the story is that, well, she broke up with a Sugar Bear, which, by the way, just ruined my whole day. And
yeah, I'm sure. Why do you love Sugar Bear?
I love Sugar Bear, too. It ruined my whole day. And then you hear that she's dating this, a new guy who went to prison for 10 years for molesting an 8-year-old. And then later it comes out that it was her daughter, her oldest daughter, Chickadee, who goes by the nickname Chickadee, I believe.
Oh, my
yep.
God.
I would be beating someone fast.
Right, and now she's speaking out of, Mama June is speaking out, saying, I would never do that. The protection of my children always comes first. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I necessarily believe that at this point. I guess I'm going to have to wait and see.
Well,
well,
I mean,
no, it's like he was standing behind
your daughter.
Whoa.
I know, we're all excited about this one.
I only say that because, you know, you put your children on TV and you're basically kind of exploiting them. That's the only reason I say
yeah.
that. I think if she
yeah.
has no problem exploiting her children on TV, she'll probably have no problem exploiting someone's weaknesses, essentially.
It had to be substantial somehow enough for TLC to cancel the show, and I believe that show was the, you know, I don't really see the yeah, I don't watch the shit. I don't really care about a little overweight kid that's being exploited with the mom who's obese living in, like.
Exploited, though, because what I will say about the Honey Boo Boo thing was that she was on Pablo's and Tierra, right?
Right.
And she was the standout star. And they had all these little cute little dressed up little girls. And here was this one little girl who was a little chubby girl, but she was funny. Like, she stole the show. So much so, they gave her own show. And I don't look at it as exploitation because it seems like everyone enjoys being there. And they really embrace that, you know, they're like, we're rednecks and this is what we do. And they embrace their culture. Like, I watched one episode, and they were, like, getting roadkill. Like, they found some roadkill. They took that shit up. I swear to you, I wouldn't have believed it if I didn't see it. They straight cooked it up, and she, like, cut up some onions. Like, we need to do a cooking segment with her. Because she, like, made that roadkill, and, like, they were eating it like it was steak. Like, they were like, oh, my God, Mama Doo makes the best roadkill. And, I mean, they were, like,
oh my
loving
God.
It. It was
disgusting.
But it was disgusting, but that was how, but that's them. Like, I was like, well, it's absolutely gross, but that's them. Like, that's what they do. And so they made people so about it, and they've made millions. Like, they, you know, they've made millions. Like, now their life has changed. Like, they now probably won't have to work. The kids can go to college. You know,
what?
Like, I don't know.
This show is so crazy because, I don't remember. I didn't.
Oh, wait.
See, I don't.
A dollar make me holla, honey, boo, boo, child, something like that.
Oh, my God. We've had so many guests on the show Karen, do you remember we had one of the producers or whatever the hell he was from Toddlers and Tears, and we ripped his ass apart. And didn't he hang up on us and, like, not come back?
I don't know, but he was well, the part that we were, like, it wasn't so much so that he was doing Toddlers and Tears.
It was, like, one of the costumes.
He supported, like, this one lady put her kid in a costume, and it was, like, the Julia Roberts costume from... Yeah, what is that?
Yes.
Pretty Woman, I remember that.
It was a Pretty Woman one, yeah. And he was like, no, it's fine. It was done tastefully. And we were like, what? No, sir, that is not tasteful. Like, that was disgusting.
Yeah, there's no way to make that tasteful for a toddler. Sorry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I will say about Mama June is when Honey Boo Boo was done with the pageant and she was not into it anymore, she stopped. Like, she wasn't that mom who forced her and drug her, and she's crying in the corner, putting curlers in her hair. She was like, okay, she doesn't have to do it no more. And then she did her TV show, you know? And so I don't know Mama June. And I did see pictures of her and that man, so it's like, they weren't taken last year. Those were recent pictures. And like you said, Jeff, obviously TLC is not going to cut one of its number one shows, Money Maker Show.
Girl, you know what? We're going to have to get on a plane, take a train, go down south, and let's see if we can go interview them on Uncensored Talk. I'm just saying. And I can't believe that the show's done already. Okay,
you come
Debbie.
Her, we'll come to her, and then you can have her after that.
Deal? Because you see that picture? There is her mother... This Honey Boo Boo or whatever the hell this little girl's name is, and then this pedophile that's standing behind her on a set of stairs. I'm sorry,
wow.
I'd have to beat the bitch's ass.
Yeah, I would too. That's one time you have to. Yeah, you can't have a pedophile anywhere around a little kid.
Never. Okay. Well, kids. The show went by so quick, we're already out of time. It's what sucks with the show. There's never enough time. But, so everybody listening, make sure you go listen on demand at myuncensoredradio.com. Please, you can go to the same website and you can see all of Karen's interviews. And the ones coming up this weekend that we're going to film, which I'm going to be sending some, backstage tweets. So check it out, kids, okay? I'm going to send you the scoop. I got the hookup, okay? And make sure you go over and follow Karen on Twitter, at Karen Ashley. Follow me, at Jeffrey Evett. Follow the show, at My Uncensored TV. And don't you have a Facebook page for the Uncensored Talk, right? What's the jive on
that? It is Uncensored Talk with Karen Ashley. So you can find that on Facebook.
So make sure you go do it. It'll be up on our website. Everything's connected. But, next week we will be back with Justin Wiseman. He was just on The View last week. He's going to be talking to us how he lost 420 pounds. Like, big dude. It's going to be great. We're going to talk about our love for Rosie. Maybe we'll get some surprise call-ins from some folks. You never know. I'm just saying. Make sure you tune in, and we will be back, bitches, next Wednesday at 9 p.m., and make sure you're clicking the ads, especially on the YouTube stuff, you know, Uncensored Talk. Click those ads, kids. We know how to raise some cash flow up in this piece. Click the ads when you listen on Blog Talk, and click the ads on the website, all right? Good night. We love you, everybody. Karen, it's a blast. I'm so glad you came back and said hey.
Yay.
And I'll see you this weekend, and thank you. Thank you, Vera, Katie,
bye.
And Debbie, as always.
Good night, guys.
I can't wait till next week till we get into some old shit.
Okay.
I can't. What the hell? Okay. Oh, no. It went away. How do I end it? Help. Somebody click end.
What? Oh,
click
okay,
end.
I will. I end.
Bye.